Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. Welcome to fall. What a glorious time of year, except if you're a student, then you've got to go back to school. Mm-hmm. That kind of sucks. Bad if you're a businessman, because now the parking lot's full again, because everybody's back from the summer. But the air is just beautiful. Special guest today, part two of Not the Kid, Rob Longto.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. In the house.
Right here.
So we're just talking earlier that you didn't book any gigs in October because you thought the Yankees were going to do it.
I'm hoping. You never know. But we'll see.
Yeah, someone was just telling me that they're disappointed in baseball, that no one seems to have a team spirit anymore, that they're all individuals, or... What do you say to that?
I say they haven't spent any time in New York or Boston.
Okay, so they're real teams.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like Boston's going to make it this year.
We'll see. We'll see. I never
Still
count
time?
Them out.
Still
never
time?
Count them out.
Okay. All right, so what's exciting in the world of Not the Kid?
What's exciting is I'm currently working on my second record. It's going to be a six-song EP. You'll hear a couple of the songs that are going to be on it by the end of the show. And just working on the recording. And hopefully start gigging again in November.
So now let me ask you a question. Your first CD...
Yes.
Which, unfortunately, I don't have the cover with me.
It's called God's Last Name is Zilla.
Nice. Now, you have a website?
Yeah. You can download the CD for free from purevolume.com/notthekid. And then I'm also on myspace.com/notthekid.
Now, why would you want people to download all your music for free?
Because that's the world we live in these days.
Is it costing you money to make the CD?
Fortunately, I'm recording all this stuff in my basement, so I'd rather have people... If I'm going to just be giving it away anyway, I'd rather have people download it so I don't have to sit at my computer and burn a bunch of CDs and stuff like that, so... But anyway, you know,
well, you
any way you want to get it, if you want to give me money for it, I'm not going to tell... I got a PayPal account. If you want to send me some money, I'll...
No, but
I'm
happy. You could put 30... I mean, basically, if you go to Amazon.com, any site, they put like 15, 20, 30 seconds of a song.
Right. I did, some of my other projects have our stuff on iTunes. So, and I think they screwed me, actually, because one of my band, Golden's Bridge, we put our newest CD on about 6 or 8 months ago, and I know for a fact at least one person bought the whole CD for $7, off of iTunes, and it never showed up in my account. You get like 70%, and it never showed up in my account. I wrote them an email. The website I do it through, TuneCore. They hook you up with iTunes basically, and they said that there had been no records of any sales. So, I mean, I don't know how hard I want to fight for
$7.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping more people bought it, and you know, maybe there's $20 or $30 in there, but.
Well, to me, it's very interesting. What's happening in the music business, and I have no solutions, but I do see a number of issues.
Yeah.
I see a number of issues that, at least for top 20 hits of any genre, I can go to a million websites and watch the video for free.
Yeah, it's
and
free.
With a little bit of software, I can rip that video to an MP3.
Yeah.
And... I'm sick and tired of the record companies blaming people for stealing music when they're giving it away for free.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
It's a situation that it just came about less than 10 years ago, and nobody's figured out a way to deal with it, basically.
Well, there's a parallel in the news media.
Right, right.
I used to have a subscription to the New York Times.
Yeah.
But then at work every day, I would read articles online.
Right.
And I canceled my subscription.
Yeah. A lot of newspapers have closed.
Well, but the smart ones would basically not let you see anything and charge you a minimal fee to get to their website. That's what the Wall Street Journal does now.
Yep.
But it's really weird that we're going to live in a world with no newspapers, because as bad as newspapers are, they're the only check we really have against crooked politicians.
Yeah.
And without that, but we divert ourselves.
Who knows for sure, you know, where the information's coming from that you read, but yeah.
Well, I have a friend, and he works in a printing plant near where you live in Ridgefield.
Mm-hmm.
And he does some Connecticut papers, and he's telling me that basically the same articles appear in all the newspapers up there.
Yeah.
There's no point in buying the local paper and the state paper because it's the same articles, because they can't afford to have reporters anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad that it's not my job to have to figure out either of those industries right now.
Well, you're in the music business, so you darn well better figure that one out.
Yeah. It'd be nice, but, you know, if people want to hear this stuff for free, if they like it enough to download it and I don't get paid for it, but they're listening to it in their car or when they're running at the gym, then that's pretty cool. So
give us a little taste for free, my friend.
Okay. This song right here. It's going to be on the new CD I'm working on, and it's called May 3rd.
Song. Sounds like something off the first Stooges album. Iggy Pop, Iggy and the Stooges.
I've never really listened to Iggy Pop. I know all the bands I listen to them.
Yeah, that's a great song. Maybe May 3rd was last year.
Yeah.
Awesome. Next!
Alright. Alright, this one is also going to be on the next CD. This is kind of, earlier this year, I was listening to basically the Beatles and Oasis for like 2 months straight. Those were like the only two bands I was listening to. So this is kind of like a ripoff of the two of them, with I guess a little bit of Nirvana thrown in. And it's called Miss Otherwise, like missing a shot otherwise. Here it is. can see it's a early Beatles type Oasis ripoff, but
it sound like a ripoff to me.
All right, that's cool.
But I tell you what's, you know, it's very interesting because now that the Beatles are releasing their catalog digitally for Rock Band,
yeah,
there's a huge media blitz.
Oh,
huge,
yeah.
Promotion.
Yeah,
and huge. And I've been watching on classic VH1, I've been watching documentaries of the Beatles, which they must have recently just put together.
Uh-huh.
And it just blows my mind. It blows my mind to watch them. Like, I saw their appearance on the first Ed Sullivan show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's two guys playing acoustic guitar, one playing bass, one playing drums.
Yeah.
Very quiet, very mellow.
Yeah.
And they captured the whole world's imagination.
Yeah. And hey, my 2.5-year-old nephew, he gets in the car. Anytime we get in the car, he's like, put the Beatles on. And he starts singing along with Beatles songs.
Really?
So, you know, it's just going to keep going.
Well, that's his parents' fault, probably. So, what do you got next for us?
This is the newest one I'm going to play tonight. Just wrote it like about 2 weeks ago, and it's called In the Rain. On the CDs, I play all the instruments. I play the drums, I play the guitars and the bass. So when it actually is recorded, whether there's a full band or not to play shows, it'll have a full band sound on the CD. Same with all the other stuff.
Now, when you say you play the drums, so in your basement you have a drum set or do you have a drum machine?
I have a drum set.
And you play it?
I play it. I play it a lot.
So you play bass, drums, do you play keyboards?
I don't play keyboards. I've never... For whatever reason, just haven't gotten into that. So,
because you could buy like a Casio, like this big,
yeah,
plug it right into your. What do you use? Do you?
I like, at least for the stuff on this, I just like the organic sound of stringed instruments and live drums and stuff like that. So,
now what do you Do you record into a Mac or a PC?
I have a Mac, and I record that into that little setup, probably $2,000 worth of equipment.
Do you have Pro Tools, or do you have the...
I use Cubase. It came with the FirePod, which is basically an interface you can buy where you can stick 8 microphones into it at the same time, record.
Looks like a little hard drive, right?
Yeah, this big, so... But, yeah, it's nice, definitely a luxury to be able to record without having to pay someone else. So, which I do too, up until recently, everything I recorded was paid for, so.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, because when I moved to Manhattan in the 70s, there were tons of very expensive recording studios.
Yeah.
And, I got a job in one of them, but I actually turned it down, but, you know, would have led to a nice career, except that now they're all gone.
Yep.
I mean, there was musicians who made a living playing demos.
Yeah.
Now no one plays demos anymore, because everybody's got, and I don't think it's bad, I think it's a great democratizer. Everybody's got their little Mac or their PC with the Cube, and they plug in, and they make
everybody's nice sounding recording stuff. In their basement. But, you know, it's how it is, you know. Like, just talking about the Beatles, they couldn't record their stuff in a basement, so they had to get discovered by someone who, you know, was willing to pay for them to spend a couple days in a studio.
But see, in actuality, your basement studio is better than where they recorded their first records in.
Yeah, and their first records were pretty much entirely live, too. I can't play more than one thing at once, obviously, so...
Right. Well, they didn't really have multi-tracking. Well, they had 4 tracks, and they used to balance from track to track.
Yeah, there's a great book. It's called Here, There, and Everywhere. It's by it's an autobiography of a guy named Jeff Emmerich. He was the engineer on almost every Beatles album. So he talks about a lot about like the band themselves and the people in the band, and then he also talks about all the crazy things they had to come up with to get the sound that they were looking for, because the technology was so primitive.
Give me some examples. Sounds interesting.
Well, one that sticks out is, this isn't really a recording technique, but it's just an interesting story, is on the song A Day in the Life, when they have that big, in the middle of the song that builds up before it goes into the, like, woke up, got out of bed, you know?
The basic piano thing sound.
Yeah, what they did was they hired a bunch of classical musicians. They timed it out in the recording, saying, all right, we have 20 seconds here. We don't know what to do with. So what they did was they hired a room full of classical musicians, and they wanted to make it like a party. So they made everyone wear like funny noses and party hats. And they just said, they didn't give them any music, you know, and classical musicians, they want to just play with what they're supposed to play. And they said, well, don't play any music, just start on the lowest note on your instrument and gradually go up to the highest note at whatever speed you want. And the classical musicians were like, what the hell are you talking about? Basically, we don't know what to do. And finally they talked them into doing it. That's why you hear such chaos in that part, because it's just like 50 different instruments sliding down from the lowest to highest note at the same time.
Yeah, it's funny, because John used to complain that all of his, so only his songs got the experimental treatment.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, there's a lots of interesting stuff in that. And just like Strawberry Fields, you're actually hearing 2 different recordings of the song. 2 different recordings, and they like, they had to, but they recorded it twice in different keys and at different tempos, and they wanted to put it together. Instead of just pressing a few buttons on the computer, they had to slow, using the tape machines, they had to like slow one out perfectly and make the other one faster so that they would kind of meet in the middle.
Wow.
So, good book. I'm on my second time reading it right now.
Awesome. Well, I mean, nowadays, I mean, now you sing one chorus of a song and they fly it over to the second chorus. You sing off pitch and they put it on pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I keep thinking about, you know, recording with electronic drums or using a program on the computer. It might sound a little bit better, but part of me just says, you know, I want to record everything myself. Come as close, I mean, obviously you're fixing stuff here and there, but come as close as you can to an actual performance of the song, you know.
Are you ever familiar with the band Traffic from late 60s, 70s?
I've never really listened to them, but I know who they are.
Well, they had some very interesting songs called Medicated Goo, In a Shanghai Noodle Factory. And you listen to it, and it sounds like the tightest band, and it's actually Stevie Winwood playing virtually every instrument.
Yeah.
So it can and has been done.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a underground metal band from early 2000s. I think they're still around. I won't mention their name, but
why not?
All right, El Nino. So if they want to come kick my ass, you can get my address off the website.
Oh, okay.
They record. They put out a couple albums, and their guitar player, who since left, basically recorded pretty much everything. He recorded all the guitar parts, and from what I understood, he recorded most of it. And they try to act like it didn't. And then when he left the band, he let out the big secret that they actually played the tapes live. So when you go see him, you're actually just hearing the album pumped through the speaker.
Wow.
And
he will shoot you for that.
Yeah. And I actually worked as a roadie for one of their shows at a club that was in Danbury that didn't last very long. And one of their roadies actually admitted to me that, yeah, like, you see them going like this with the guitars, but they're not playing anything.
Lip syncing, heavy metal.
Yeah.
Not usually,
not like they're doing complicated dance moves and so they can't actually sing, like.
Well, no, but heavy metal, I mean, they usually, you know, the guitar player usually is playing some very fast licks.
Yeah.
I mean, some people may not like heavy metal, but it is, I think it's very sophisticated and difficult music to play.
It is, and the problem is that a very small percentage has actually done it, of bands that play that kind of music has actually done it really well. So you get a lot of bands that sound exactly like every other metal band, and, you know.
What about Yngwie Malmsteen? You like him? Yngwie.
I never really got into that whole, like, super technical stuff. I know, I mean, I like, you know, Kirk Hammett from Metallica is influenced by Yngwie, and, like, you know, Dimebag from Pantera was very, very intricate. You know, he's really good technically, but I don't like listening to someone who I feel like they just sat in their room just practicing scales over and over and over again for years, you know, but.
Why not?
Because that's not really what music is about to me. But, you know what?
I'm just interested. I mean, that was a very interesting.
You know, there's probably bands I listen to that did practice that much and did want to be like that, and I just don't know it when I hear it. You know?
Well, I think the concept is you practice this stuff and you practice this stuff, and then you get on stage, you forget it all.
Yeah.
It's just part of the palette that you use when you improvise.
Exactly. But, you know, just a lot of these virtuoso guitar players, you know, they can do all this crazy stuff, but if you ask them to, you know, bend a note, you know, with some feeling behind it,
they can't do it.
Yeah. So.
So we were going to talk about some interesting experiences you've had with your bands.
Yeah. Well, Not the Kid is my newest project, so I've only played a handful of shows out right now, so I don't have anything very interesting for this project, but my band I play drums in is a metal band. We're called Filthy Little Whores, and we've had a couple of pretty insane shows.
You've got 33 seconds.
33 seconds?
30 now.
Alright, well, one show we played a battle of the bands, and we had strippers on stage in front of like 500 people, and it was pretty wild. And another one, some guy came up and attacked me on stage. He started saying I stole his wallet, and he was just wasted. He didn't know what he was doing. he went to pull me off the drum set to kind of start punching me, and a bunch of couple of my bandmates and like a couple of my friends ran on stage and grabbed him and beat the crap out of him on stage.
Rob, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And we're out.